Well, you know, for the last 2 or 3 weeks, I've gotten calls from very excited Oakland Raider fans, and they want to talk about the playoffs. And I had someone call up last week and ask me if I thought they could go to the Super Bowl. I go, listen, stop talking about the playoffs. There are too many things that can happen. I go, worry about this week. Then when you get through this week, that's the life in the National Football League. And as we sit here at 3 o'clock on the day after Christmas, I hope that everyone had a great holiday. But, Doug, boy, oh, boy.
Man.
You know, you just, your heart goes out to Derek Carr.
Totally.
It's just awful. I mean, it really is. It's just, you look at what happened the week earlier to Ryan Tannehill. You look at guys that are get almost to the finish line and to fulfill their dream of playing in the playoffs, and then in an instant, it's gone.
Well, Marcus Mariota
as
well.
Marcus Mariota yesterday,
you know,
or Saturday.
Yeah, it's, you know, and obviously up in my neck of the woods, Tyler Lockett.
Yeah, same thing.
I mean, but when we talk about Derek Carr, we're talking about the man who, not, you don't say single-handedly, but when you think about the offense, he is the figurehead of that offense. And now, you know, to just – Where do they go? What do they do? I think they I saw him under center. Did you see that?
Yes, I did.
On the goal line.
Yep.
I'm thinking, whoa,
yeah,
okay,
right.
I like the way that looks. And then he absolutely drops a dime. Just so unfortunate. When you say heart goes out, I mean, that's an understatement.
Awful.
Man. I just felt so bad for
him. And now the question is, what happens to the Raiders now? And I can take you back when I was a Giants fan.
Uh-huh.
And Phil Sims and the Giants had a great record, and he got hurt in the middle of December against Buffalo, and then Jeff Hostetler took him to a Super Bowl. But the difference is the Giants had the best defense in football that year. The Raiders don't have the best defense in football. They've got an improving defense, but it's still vulnerable. And I got to tell you, I just don't see how the Raiders are going to win, assuming that they get a bye. And I'm not assuming that they're going to go in and win at Denver on Sunday. I just got to cross them off the list right now. I'm not saying it can't happen, but boy, oh boy, I'd be shocked if they could win with McGloin at quarterback.
Yeah, with McGloin in Denver, and if you watched the post game the other day of Denver, you know, their coach said, look, what we're going to do is we're going to put this behind us, and this next game is building for next year. So they're going to take a different
approach. The coach can say that, but are the players going to think that?
Are they going to buy in?
Right.
Going into Denver, I don't see Denver just not playing extremely well, you know, just tanking it at home. Maybe on the road, not at home. This is going to be a tough one. I think it's going to say a lot, not only to the Raiders fans, but it's going to say a lot to the opponents because they're going to be watching. What do they do? How do they go about their business and all these different things? And if the Raiders don't win and end up having to go on the road, Grant, whoa, oh boy.
Yeah, I think even if they do win on Sunday, and I'm wondering what the mindset is of a team that won the Super Bowl the previous year, and now they know that their season's ending in 60 minutes. Are you really going to get the best that the Denver Broncos have to offer? I'm leery about that. But regardless of the outcome of the game, the Raiders still have to win a minimum of two games to get to the Super Bowl. And I got to tell you, I think the team that's looking the best right now is Pittsburgh, other than New England, because they're going to be a three seed. And boy, the chips are just lining up perfectly for them.
They'll
probably get, you know, they get Miami, and then they would get the Raiders.
Man, that team, Grant, we've been talking about it. I've been talking about it all year. The fact that they have that type of an offense, the defense, you know, whatever, if they can get going a little bit. But offensively, they you know, you got a running back, you got receivers, you got multiple receivers now. And you have a Super Bowl quarterback that can, I mean, watching him slide up in the pocket yesterday, I was just like,
he was great. In that fourth quarter, how good was he?
Oh, he was absolutely incredible. And then the catch and the touchdown.
Phenomenal by Antonio Brown.
I mean, that was.
Yeah, because if he there's no way they're getting another snap. That game ends right there. That's spectacular, isn't it?
Oh, man. There was not. I mean, that just shows you the passion and the drive that these guys play with. That, I mean, that again is why your heart goes out to a Derek Carr, because you know how bad he wants it. And, man, unfortunate. But great football nonetheless.
All right, Grant Napier, Doug Christie, we'll talk about that. 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Just a little bit of a note, I'll be filling in for Jim Rome tomorrow and Wednesday, so looking forward to stepping into the jungle, and we'll have some fun on the air both tomorrow and Wednesday. The Kings, hey, they won both road games. They win at Utah. They win at Minnesota. They have now won three in a row. And they've got a Philadelphia team that only has 7 wins, but I think that their personnel right now is better than the record indicates. And so, you know, Sacramento better not be approaching this game like, oh, we're playing the worst team in the NBA, because if they do, they'll lose.
No, not only can you not approach the game that way, but this game, Grant, out of all of them, might be the most important. Can you handle prosperity? How do you take 3 wins, one at home, 2 on the road, you come back, it looks like you're starting to figure out how to play, and here comes a team that's at the bottom of the barrel in the NBA, but they play extremely hard. They're in the top 10 of three-point shooting. That's been the Achilles heel of the Kings all year long. What are the Kings going to do? How are they going to come out first game off a road trip? So this one's going to say a lot for the Kings tonight.
All right, so we'll have game night followed by the pregame show and then all the action. We know that a lot of people are off today. So if you're out and about running errands and you want to give us a shout, we'd love to hear from you again at 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. About the only thing that's really left to be decided will be Detroit and Green Bay, and that game's been flexed to next Sunday night. Detroit plays in Dallas tonight. If Detroit wins, they clinch a playoff spot. But that game next Sunday, Green Bay and Detroit, wow. I mean, you know, we're thinking about Detroit. I don't think Detroit's going to win tonight. So assuming that they don't win tonight, that game on Sunday, winner takes all.
Well, winner takes all, but if Detroit loses, they're out of the playoffs. Could you imagine that as
yep.
good as they've
no,
been
they
playing?
No, they would be out of the playoffs.
They would be out of the playoffs. It sets up just absolutely fantastic. Again, your heart goes out to Stafford for what he's dealing with his hand.
Yep.
But Aaron Rodgers has said it again. He told everybody to relax. Now he told everybody that we're going to run the table. He's been playing phenomenal football. That's going to be a really good game. I can't wait to sit down and watch that, because you're talking, like you said, winner takes all. When it comes to those type of games, the cream is going to rise to the top. You got two quarterbacks playing really well. It should be interesting.
All right, so if you want to talk about football playoffs again, 339-1140 and again 800-920-1140. Again, Detroit and Dallas tonight. You know, a lot of people have been asking how Dallas is going to play tonight. I think Dallas is going to play the game tonight the way they played every week. It's way too early to start resting. It's way too early to take your foot off the gas pedal. I don't think you'll see any difference at all in Dallas. I think Jason Garrett will coach this game as if it was a must-win game. They're going to have a bye. You can't start resting players, you know, that far out. You just can't.
Yeah, seeing that they have a game and you're going to get a bye, I agree. It's too far. At
Way
first,
too far.
I was saying to myself, you know what? They probably should maybe back off of Zeke and maybe Dak, but get Tony some reps and what have you. But I don't think so. I think you go at this one the exact same way, and then as things start, but, you know, they're probably getting scared, because you got to think. You know, you're seeing quarterbacks go down, guys with broken legs, but they do have the best offensive line in football, so they should be able to protect.
You know, we keep on talking about who is the team in the NFC that could give Dallas, you know, the biggest challenge. Some have said Seattle. Some have said the Giants. You know, some have said Green Bay. Personally, I don't really think right now there's really a big difference between the second seed in the NFC and the sixth seed. I really don't. I could see any of those teams, you know. Listen, Seattle's not playing well right now.
Yep.
Okay, the
yep.
way they lost that game on Sunday, that doesn't happen up there. I think not having Thomas on the back end hurts. Their offensive line is still an issue.
Yep.
You know, the Giants' offense still is not – they're not able to score enough. I'm looking at Green Bay, and I'm looking at all the hits that Aaron Rodgers took against the Vikings' defense. I mean, he got clobbered, yet they still won. I got to tell you, Doug, I think the NFC is wide open.
It is. And, you know – as good as the Cowboys are playing, this is uncharted territory for a group that is led by two rookies. Now, they're rookies and they're fantastic, and they've stepped up to every challenge so far, but the playoff challenge is a different challenge. guys have, it's just a different animal as it is in basketball. So that's going to be something new. We don't know. They may go and play the same way, but there is a possibility that they don't, because you haven't seen them in that type of a scenario. When you look at all the other teams, I agree. There's no definite number two team. The only team that I could probably say is definite is the Giants, because they beat them twice already. So they will have some cachet and confidence going into a game like that. But everybody else, I think it is wide open.
All right, if you want to call on that, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. George Carl's in the news again. George Carl, man. Did you hear the latest?
No, I did not.
Do you want to hear about the latest?
Can we take a call first?
We got
Pat on the line.
All right, but that's fine. Okay.
Tell me about that.
All right, okay. Pat, you'll get us started here. Hello, Pat. How are you?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Same to you.
Hey, I just want to give some of the Raider fans some hope. You know, I was listening to the press conference today, and obviously it was a sad day on Saturday watching Derek Carr go down. But Ron Woodson had the same injury for the Raiders back in 2002, from what Bill Romanowski was saying. He was back within 3 weeks. Now, a lot
I'm going to interrupt you here for a minute, okay? Derek Carr is having surgery tomorrow. Okay,
right.
He's not coming back in 3 weeks. All right. So if you're thinking that he's coming back,
can I finish?
You can. But come on now, go ahead.
No. So what I'm saying is possibilities, right? Possibilities. So the possibility of, you know, obviously we need the bye week, and then we need the grind to at least win one game. Possibility. You know, from what he was saying, same injury. Once he has surgery, that bone is healed. Now, the stuff around it, this is what Bill Romanowski was just saying.
I don't care what the hell Bill Romanowski said. Bill Romanowski doesn't know what the hell he's talking about, okay? And then you can call up Bill Romanowski and tell him that Grant Napier said he doesn't have any idea what the hell he's talking about. The bone is not healed, okay, when he comes out of surgery, all right? Whoever the hell's telling you that is delusional. Goodbye, Pat. I'm not even going on with it. He's not coming back this year, Pat. Okay? He's not playing.
Maybe.
Bill Romanowski said that his bone is healed right after surgery. Really? Oh, that's great. That's good to know.
Maybe my idea of the caller was a bad idea. Let's hear what Let's hear what George Carl had to say.
Bill Romanowski. That's the last guy I need to be hearing about. Jesus Christ. All right. Unbelievable. Amazing. I mean, I don't even know what to say. All right, so
let's hear it.
In George Carl's book,
okay,
all right,
yep,
he's now making claims that the NBA has a problem with steroids and performance-enhancing drugs.
Huh?
Okay, quote,
steroids.
This is in his book.
Okay,
we've got a more thorough drug testing program than the NFL or MLB, which we always brag about, but we've still got a drug issue, though a different one than 30 years ago, and this one bothers me more than the dumbasses who got in trouble with recreational drugs. I'm talking about performance-enhancing drugs like steroids, human growth hormone, and so on. It's obvious some of our players are doping.
Really?
How are some guys getting older, yet thinner and fitter? How are they recovering from injuries so fast? Why the hell are they going to Germany in the offseason? I doubt it's for the sauerkraut. More likely, it's for the newest, hard-to-detect blood boosters and PEDs they have in Europe. Unfortunately, drug testing always seems to be a couple of steps behind drug hiding. Lance Armstrong never failed a drug test. I think we want the best athletes to succeed, not the biggest, richest cheaters employing the best scientists, but I don't know what to do about it. Now, when he references Germany, he's obviously talking about Kobe Bryant without mentioning Kobe's name.
Right. I mean, from my understanding, that was the first time that PRP, that is the platelet-rich, the plasma stuff. So they take blood out of your body. I had this in my wrist. They take blood out of your body. They spin it in a centrifuge, and I believe it's the red, or the blood cells separate. So when the blood comes back, it's yellow, and they push it back into your body, and it has healing principles. So you're just putting your own blood back in your body after it's been spun in a centrifuge, and that helped heal the area. I can tell you firsthand that it worked for my wrist, and I have no cartilage left in the bone. So I think that Kobe was the first one to do that for his knee because he heard about it in Germany. I don't know that for sure.
Well, then you know what? Maybe Derek Carr will go to Germany, and Bill Romanowski's right. He'll be back. He'll be back on the field playing with a broken ankle in 3 weeks.
Well, I'm just saying that's a way to heal. Now, I want to ask you.
I want to see Derek Carr take the ball and drop back, okay, do a 7-step drop, okay, in 3 weeks.
And yes. Plan on that?
Yeah, thank you.
I doubt
what is wrong
that.
With these people? No, really, help me out here.
Now, that – no, I
what is wrong with these people?
I wouldn't even think about having my cornerstone – franchise quarterback.
Unbelievable.
Unless he was totally, totally healed. And I don't
You know anybody that's healed from ankle surgery that's been broken in 3 weeks and played any type of sport?
Let me think. No. I'm just saying no. But this is what I want to ask.
And he wanted to know why I didn't let him finish? Really? Yeah. Like he even had to ask me that question?
He might have, you know. Yeah. Do you, from your eye test, do you see that we have problems in the NBA with people who are taking steroids? Do you see that?
Because I honestly have not really given it that much thought, okay? That's first and foremost.
Okay.
I haven't given it that much thought, but the reality is that nothing would surprise me at all if somebody came to me and said, this sport's got a problem. That sport's got a problem. Nothing would surprise me. I haven't even given it any thought.
Yeah.
I've never really thought about it.
I would say a lot of, in my opinion, from being around it, a lot of what we see is the advancement in sports medicine from, you know, Pete and all the different machines that they have down there now and all the different stuff. I mean, back in the day, Pete would rub my ankles. Now I have no idea what the hell they do down there. I'm sure that, you know, there are things. But putting out comments and stuff like that, just kind of throwing it against the wall and seeing what sticks, I don't know.
I think George is going to really kill his any type of legacy. I think, you know, for the folks that think George Carlin didn't think something positive about it, I think this is going to really tarnish his legacy. I really do.
I will say this. One thing is attacking player or players. But there's another thing that attacked the institution as well. And now he's attacking both. And the problem is that that doesn't sound like there's any facts behind that, Grant. It just sounds like you're just saying.
Hey, listen, I've heard that, you know, your bone is healed when you come out of surgery when it's fractured today. So, like, I'll believe anything. You know what I mean? That's great. So, basically, you know, that's great. So this scientist that called up my radio show a couple of minutes ago thinks that just because you can have surgery and they insert a pin that your bone is healed. Really? Okay. That's great.
Oh,
I'm going to keep that in mind. If I ever have a fracture, I'm going to call up my doctor and go, hey, you know what? I need my bone healed by tonight, because I'm going to a dinner and I need to be. Can you do surgery on me and put a pin in it? Because I got a call on the radio that said it will be healed after that.
And let me tell you this. That's just one part, just the healing. But the mental aspect of him having the confidence to plan on it, of guys going at it and testing it. That, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I mean, I know that sounds maybe to fans a little like, whoa, but that's what you do. If a guy is boxing and his eyes starts to close, guess what they do, Grant? They punch him in that eye, right? That's what you do. So if you come out and
you got
a rib problem.
You're killing me.
I'm just saying, you coming off a pick, I'm going to touch your ribs. That's just what it does. So, Derek Carr, you got to know that they are coming and they're going to hit that leg. So you better make sure that it is totally healed. Don't just think that you are in the playoffs this year. You got to start planning for the future. I know, I get it, but right now, that's why you have the best backup that you can go out and get and all those different things.
Yep.
And McGloin, it's time to earn your money, buddy.
Now, if, and that's a capital I, capital F, if the Raiders somehow made it to the Super Bowl, could I see a scenario where it could be possible that Derek Carr could play in February? Yeah, I could see that scenario, but that's only if every single thing went absolutely perfectly, and even that I would find to be questionable.
When did T.O. break his ankle? Do you remember?
I don't.
Okay, because he broke his ankle, and it wasn't at the end of the season. I thought it was a little bit, a couple weeks behind us now, maybe even a month. That's the only guy that I've seen, and he was an absolute freak of nature, first of all. So we're talking like Adrian Peterson type of a healer. I don't know Derek Carr's type of a healing.
I don't even know the type of an injury. They won't know until the x-rays they have and everything. But,
you got to get an MRI.
Right, until they find out, the doctor, the orthopedic surgeon will do, the procedure tomorrow. And I'm sure at the end of that, he'll put a timetable on it.
Yeah.
He's not putting a timetable on it before he operates on it.
I would definitely say it's not going to be – it's going to at least have to be 6 to 8 weeks. Okay? I'm just saying. And that is – that I would say that is probably rushing it. Now, if they put – are they going to put a rod?
Yeah, I don't know.
See, all those things mean something. If you put a rod in it, that probably makes it a little stronger. But then now the body has to accept that. That's a touchy thing. They have to really be careful.
All right, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Let's get to Adrian. Hello, Adrian. How are you?
Hey, Grant. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Thank you, Adrian.
Hey, happy New Year's. Merry Christmas. Such an honor to be on the air with you guys. Anyways, my question is about the Sacramento Kings. I'm a big-time fan. I lost a lot of respect for George Karl. I don't think he should have said some of the stuff he said. It doesn't seem like he has a lot of facts behind it. We'll wait till the book comes out and see what he has to say about that stuff. But my question is about Rudy Gay. Do you think the Kings are better without Rudy? And if so, do you think there's anything on the trade market for him going on?
Well, I think Rudy Gay, I think there, and I've been saying this for the last couple of months, I think there's a good chance that Rudy Gay will be moved before the trade deadline. He's truly one of the Kings' best players. Are they better without him? I've always said, a team is like a puzzle. It's like a jigsaw puzzle. It's not about really who's better. It's about who fits with whom better. Doug, it's putting a puzzle together. So I can't really answer that. Because I don't know.
Yeah, and it's also at the same time, you have a one ISO guy in a cuz, but he's willing to really move the ball. Then you have another ISO. When you put maybe those two players, would Rudy maybe be willing to come off the bench to at, because he is he's a dominant scorer, and that is not, he's got to be our second best player by hands down. And when you say that, it's like, man, are you better? It's hard to say. I have to agree with Grant that it is a puzzle, but his talent is unquestionable.
All right, we'll come right back. Grant Napier, Doug Christie. This is Sports 1140 KHTK. All right, back with you here at Golden One Center. Grant Napier, Doug Christie, Kings and Sixers coming up for you tonight, and then the Kings will be in Portland. I don't like looking too far ahead, but that could be a dandy based on what we witnessed here a couple of days ago with Myers Leonard and his comments after the game, and DeMarcus Cousins' comments after the game, and to Katie, and then in the locker room, and how he was kicked out, he wasn't kicked out, and the Blazers had a big lead. The Kings came roaring back, so that should be fun. Someone asked me today, about the Kings winning streak, and they said, what do you think the difference is? And I said, I think Ty Lawson's been the difference, because Darren Collison has not played as well as I would expect him. I don't know if the Kings would have won any of those three games without Ty Lawson.
Yes, and two things.
Yeah.
First, let me put Ty on the back burner for a second. But guys learning how to play around DeMarcus Cousins, getting to spots and making shots, making shots. But now let me talk about Ty Lawson. Ty Lawson playing downhill, Grant, learning how, because his speed is so elite with the ball that guys can't really run with him. And I think that at first he was a little frustrated. He didn't know how to do it. He's learned how to do it now. And the fact that he's hitting that 17-foot jump shot, that step-back jumper, it takes his game to another level, because as soon as they respect it, the ability for him to get in the lane and make things happen, we've seen him do the Steve Nash where he goes baseline, baseline drive, baseline drift. He's hitting guys in the corner. He's dribbling through. If he wasn't here, we probably wouldn't have won those games, or Darren would have had to play like the Darren that we had seen him play at in the past.
All right, if you want to call the show, 339-1140. That's 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. It's kind of odd. We always talk about the holidays, and there's really no holidays in sports. And, the NBA has always tried to at least keep teams in their region for Christmas. Philadelphia played in Phoenix on the 23rd.
Yep.
They've been here. And, gosh, you know, they got the short end of the stick. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. I mean, when you think about it, they played on the 23rd. So, I mean, you almost have time to fly home. But
no.
that's crazy talk.
Yeah,
but my point is.
Not from Phoenix.
You are here, families, a lot of different stuff. Yeah, you would say the short end of the stick. I would guess that they probably stayed down in Phoenix.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure they flew here yesterday late in the day.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So,
I mean, listen, just so you know where I'm coming from, raise your hand if you'd rather be in Phoenix than Philadelphia. But the reality is, you know, the players that are married and have kids, the coaches that are married and have families. I mean, it's not easy being away on a day like Christmas. And, you know, that's part of it. When you sign up, you understand that really holidays don't exist. But at least the point I'm trying to make is the league at least does their best to keep teams in the region, you know, where they, you know, like, listen, there are many times I've had to fly out on Christmas evening.
Yes.
But we're going to Portland or L.A. or something like that. So you can you know. But anyway, I just wanted to put that out, that they got the short end of the stick on that one.
It's the short end of the stick from the standpoint that from the families.
But yes.
The family part of the team, there's a bonding that takes place in times like that that is highly, highly beneficial. It is 3:34, time for Jacuzzi of Sacramento. 2016 floor model clearance. Go to jacuzziofsacramento.com.
All right, let's get to some phone calls. Welcome, you're on with Grant Napier and Doug Christie. How are you? Welcome to the show. Go ahead.
Doing great, thanks. How are you?
Good. I'm sorry, what's your first name again?
It's Leaf, like the Viking.
Leaf. Okay, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm driving back up the hill home, but I was listening to you talk about Derek Carr. I actually suffered that same injury. You talk about putting a rod in the leg. I've got the rod. And it took me, I was in my early 30s, like 31, 32, and it took me 5 months to recover from that.
Yeah, word around the league is once he has surgery, they're talking minimum 6 to 8 weeks. All right. So everyone's different. I don't know the severity of your break. I don't know when you had it. Medical technology's advanced quite a bit between now and even 5 and 10 years ago. But, you know.
Yeah, it was like 18 years ago.
But I got to tell you that he ain't coming back in 3 weeks like the caller suggested. Bill Romanowski said best case scenario. That's you know, come on.
No, he's not. And I'm actually a Packer fan, but, you know, if the Packers don't go in, I'm going to root for the Raiders. I really hope. Yeah, it'd be nice.
Hey, thank you very much, Leaf. Take care. Appreciate it. Again, he's not coming back, and Raider fans, you know, listen, Jack Del Rio knows that, all right?
Well, 5 months times four, you do the math, that's 20 weeks.
Yeah, what you hope is that the surgery does exactly what it's supposed to do.
Yes.
And that when training camp opens next summer, there is absolutely no issues at all with Derek Carr moving forward.
Yeah, and really, my thing, I keep saying, especially for the quarterback, it's the mental aspect for him because he can't think about that at all. When you drop back, you want to go. He's going to have to take a hit, know that it's good. There's a lot of different things that need to take place for him to get out there as opposed to just get out there and go, because he has to calculate. There's a lot of different things that are required of a quarterback. You don't want him out there thinking, because they only have about 2 seconds anyway, Grant. And if you're thinking, it's a wrap.
All right, so you've got Kansas City, who beat Denver last night. Denver's out of the playoffs. No one really knows, you know, how Denver will play on Sunday. Their coach can say whatever he wants, but he's not playing. It's the players that have to go out there. I have not been that impressed with Denver the last few weeks. Defensively, Kansas City got the best of them. Kansas City's starting to look really good right now. The question to me is, you know, which Kansas City team's going to show up in the playoffs? But they're one of those teams that, gosh, you look at them, and you look at Tyreek Hill, you look at their defense, you look at their quarterback who doesn't make a lot of mistakes. They're an interesting team.
They are. Travis Kelce.
Yep.
This guy is he is the real deal. I mean, athletic, catches everything. And when you talk about Tyreek Hill, I mean, he keeps doing video game stuff every single week. I agree, Grant. You don't know what you're going to get. Is it going to be the Andy Reid team that shows up and you can tell that right from the gate they're ready to go? They're going to get takeaways and those takeaways, because takeaways in the NFL is that's usually paramount to victory, except for yesterday when we seen Pittsburgh and Roethlisberger turn it over twice, and normally they lose a game like that. Most of the times you turn that ball over, you're able to get guys to turn it over, you're going to win. And that's what they've been, Kansas City's been taking advantage of all year. Is it going to be that team, or is it going to mean it goes out at home and loses the game against a trending up Tampa Bay team?
All right, so we've got all these things to talk about. We've got the Kings that are looking for their fourth in a row tonight. And I'll tell you, and I know I don't want to contradict myself what I said about last week. I get the excitement, and I'm feeling good about the way the team has played.
Right.
And I understand the business aspect of this, and I'm fully aware that, you know, there are two situations here. There's the basketball side and there's the business side, and the business side's got to sell tickets, and I'm on board with that. I'm not comfortable talking about playoffs just yet.
No.
Okay. And I understand the Kings technically are in the eighth spot.
Right.
But they were in the eighth spot in January last year, and then I'm not really. We're all aware of the standings, okay? But there's a long way to go before we should really start talking about the playoffs. We're all aware of it, and I have no problem with the franchise talking about it because they're trying to, you know, I get the business side of it. I'm not comfortable with it yet.
Yes.
The team is 13 and 17.
Right.
Get to 500, and I'm more comfortable with it, you know?
Yes.
Does that make sense to you?
I would say get to 500 after the All-Star break. Be two games ahead of the person in ninth, and now pressure's on you, and you got to hold that person off. You got a nice little two-game lead, or you're tied with them. You're right in there, and you're coming down the stretch, and you're playing 500 ball. Each game means something, and we can really start having a serious conversation, because then, Grant, we're talking about what we talked about at the beginning of the year. 41-41 would be an absolute great job by the Kings this year that
yes.
would put them in position after the All-Star break, meaning a nice chunk of the season is now gone. You are past the halfway point at the All-Star break, and then we can take it away from, because the Kings are supposed to do that, because
yes.
this is for the fans. Let's get them excited, and they should be, because they're playing better basketball. But this is going to have to continue for a bigger chunk than just three games or five or six games.
All right, so if you want to talk about any of that, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. And then I know if this continues and we get to March.
Yes.
The next question is, now, Grant, is it better that the Kings don't make the playoffs? No, really, I'm telling you. Or is it better to play the Warriors and get smushed four games in a row? I've always felt that there's no substitute for playoff experience.
Oh, boy.
Maybe you could share that with the listeners.
Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you can play all year long, but just a taste of the playoffs, it's a different animal. The everything goes to another level. It seems like the guys on the court are bigger. Passing lanes close down. Guys are faster. It's not that they're not playing 100% during the regular season, Grant, but you are getting everybody as fast as they can move, as good as they can stop, as good. You are getting that absolute top tier every single night. You're seeing the same. It was an honor to play here for the Kings and play in the playoffs, because I never experienced any freaking thing like it in my life. It gave me chills every time I ran out. I felt no pain. You're just going through it. But for a young ball club, for a team that's aspiring to do something else, Grant, you have to get that taste in your mouth so you understand. Because once you got it in your mouth, everything means more. Then those games, Grant, in February that you just let slide by, they mean something to you because you're trying to get that feeling that you had when you made the playoffs. So, yeah, I would say if you have a chance to get an 8 seed and you get stomped, like we were the 8 seed, we played the Lakers and they swept us my very first year here. We needed that. We needed to understand. And I would tell you, boy, oh boy, it was incredible. Your Staples Center, all this, and then we continued to get better and better and better. And the Kings, they not only do the Kings need it, the Kings fans need that, I think.
All right, we'll take the time out. We'll come right back to Golden One Center, Sports 1140 KHTK. All right, Grant Napier and Doug Christie, and we welcome your phone calls. at 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Why don't we check in with Marvin? Hello, Marvin.
Hey, Grant. How you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. What's happening?
Tell me, what's the status of Alton Smith? I thought he was available to come back off the suspension past November.
Well, he was. He applied for reinstatement. He visited with the commissioner of the National Football League, Roger Goodell, I want to say 2 weeks ago. I may be off by a week. And now it's up to the NFL to determine whether they're going to reinstate him or not.
Is it possible he may be available for the playoffs?
It is possible, yes.
I think it's probably saying something, though, you guys, that you haven't heard anything yet, that it might be not a great possibility, because the fact that he's ready, he's already met with him, and you haven't heard anything, kind of fast-forwarding
right.
That, I don't know.
I don't think fans understand. It's not like if he gets reinstated, Alden Smith showing up, the Pro Bowler, okay? I mean, it's just, I don't know if there's really enough time right now where he could even be a factor, possibly, but, I mean, he is clearly running out of time for this year, I would say that.
Okay, thank you.
All right, hey, thank you. Again, it's not easy.
No, it is not. I mean, you think about it. I mean, the one thing I will say about football is, I mean, it's a violent sport. You're going to have to be 100% on your game, and with the chips as high as they are for the Raiders right now, with schemes and a lot of different things, the coach is going to have the utmost trust in him that he's going to be able to go out there and deliver. To your point, Grant, I doubt that we see the Pro Bowl, Alden Smith right away. Now, that could over the summer in a training camp and a lot of different things come back, as well as him proving that he's going to be able to be trusted off the field and a lot of different stuff. I just don't think that it bodes well that we haven't heard anything yet.
All right, if you want to call the program, you can at 339-1140, 800-920-1140. You know, I'm with you. The Raiders are moving forward as if, you know what, they're not going to have them. That's the only way you can do it.
Yeah, if you're not going to say right away, and I read an article that was saying, you know, as soon as the talk of Alden Smith started coming around, all of a sudden you did correlate that with Bruce Irving starting to play a lot better. And that could have said to the Raiders, you know, okay, well, we don't really need him right now. I think that lit a fire under Bruce. Bruce is playing better, as opposed to bringing that around the team. And you don't know what it's going to be.
That's right.
So you got to look at that, too.
All right. Again, 339-1140-800-920-1140, and again, we're talking about a team that has just received a big time blow. All right, and now I know Raider fans are trying to figure out how they can get around that. Well, you can't. I mean, your quarterback's gone. It's not like a rookie is going to be stepping onto the field in Matt McGloin. You know, he does have some experience. But to me, you just lost, I don't want to say the heart and soul of your team, but pretty close to the heart and soul of that offense, that's for sure. It probably is the heart and soul of that offense.
I would say so, because just watching it on television, it said that the place was absolutely silent. Because,
oh boy,
you know, it's happened before when he hurt his finger and everyone just went, oh my God. And now this is – you know, this is final. He's not going to be around for a while. Where are you going to go and what are you going to do? I don't know what that does necessarily for their locker room, because I will say this, Grant. They have enough pieces around McGloin that if, you know, Jalen Richard can continue to run the ball like he did the other day, and now the running game can take form, then maybe you can dink and dunk, and you don't have to worry about trying to get a long ball to anybody and allowing guys to get yards after the catch. They have an offense that's prolific. They can go out and do some things. Will he be able to manage that? And normally, like you said, when something like that comes, you have to depend on your defense.
Yeah, but, you know, see, now, okay, you're game planning to go against the Raiders. The first thing you're going to do is you're going to take away their run.
Right.
And you're going to say, okay.
Right.
You're going to say, okay, Matt, you're in the
throw
big
the
time
ball.
Now. Let's see if you can beat us.
Yep.
All right?
Yeah.
That's
why I'm saying you're going to have to run the football. You're going to have to, because you know that that's going to happen. Now, can you say out of the backfield, Jalen Richard, you know, these guys can catch the ball and do something with it out of the backfield, so that's a running game without handing it off. Otherwise, yeah, they're going to make him beat him with his arm, and that is definitely yet to be proven.
All right. We are already through 1 hour, and we'll take you right up until 6 o'clock. We do have Kings basketball for you as they're taking on the Philadelphia 76ers. The Sixers go with Robert Covington, Joel Embiid, Jahlil Okafor, Gerald Henderson, and Sergio Rodriguez. They are 7-22 on the year. They are coming off losses at Phoenix, 123-116, and a home loss to New Orleans, 108-93. Hour two, right around the corner on Sports 1140.